إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This evening we've been requested to give a talk pertaining to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And when the brother Zahid asked me, what am I going to talk about? I told him that the subject is, and there's a slight error, just a typographical error, it's not names of the messengers of Allah, it's the names of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this particular topic, even though it was suggested to me a few days ago to discuss some of the errors that are found in the books in English, the history books, the books of biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we decided to do the names of the Messenger of Allah instead. And maybe, inshallah, maybe, because there's going to be two parts to this, bi-idhnillah, today and tomorrow, the names of the Messenger of Allah, part two. Maybe tomorrow evening, and Allah knows best, we can discuss some of those books that, which was the original plan, that have errors in them, in English, that have been translated for the English-speaking Muslims. Stories that are not true, translations that are kind of faulty, narrations from hadith in those stories that are bogus or counterfeit, etc., inshallah. And we, if we do it, we intend to bring some of those books, bring them, put them on this table on the podium so that you can see them and you can make notes if you have those books. And one of them we mentioned last year at the 13th convention, The Life of Muhammad by Martin Ling. This is one of the ones that sticks out in my mind the most, that's replete with bogus stories and counterfeit narrations and shirk and kufr. That's one that you should look out for. And I can tell you now, Martin Ling's book, The Life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But before we begin, we want to say that Muhammad, the name sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man, the personality sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an individual whose name is ringing throughout not the world but the universe. And there is no name, even according to the disbelievers, that is more common now as a name, more than Smith, more than Jones. There is no name that is more common than the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with all the notoriety that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has received, both and justifiably so by the Muslims and strangely by even some of the disbelievers, we still don't worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We haven't taken Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the level of worshiping him. We do not place him like some of the Christians, or I should say all of the Christians, have done with Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, nor with Uzair or Ezra, as some of the Jews do, nor as some of the other individuals who are on a lesser status, a much lesser status, because they're not prophets, than those two illustrious prophets of Allah, Musa and Isa. We do not pray to him, we do not worship him in any way whatsoever. And this is an instruction, in fact, no, this is a warning, a prohibitive warning to the people of the book, specifically in the Quran, and to the Muslims in general. Ya ahlal kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. O people of the book, don't go to excesses in your religion. Don't go to excesses. Don't go overboard in the affairs of your deen. And one of them, of course, is to say about Isa that which they should not say, which is a slander towards Isa ibn Maryam and a slander towards Allah, to say that Isa is the son of Allah and to say that Isa is equal to Allah in a triune godship or godhead. We don't do this, alhamdulillah. Even though we praise Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the most praised from among all the creatures of Allah, he is the most praised. And this is one of the reasons why, as we'll come to see, maybe today or tomorrow, part one or part two, why his name, or one of his names, is Muhammad. Even with all of that, we don't worship Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all remember, I would think that probably the majority of us remember, the statement of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq when the Prophet died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the people became very saddened, and they were justified to be sad, he told them, if you worship Muhammad, know that Muhammad is dead. If you worship Allah, and of course he wasn't telling them that they worship the Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but if you worship Allah, know that Allah is alive and you never die. So this is one thing that we wanted to mention at the outset, that the Muslims do not, because we have to remember, in some of these conferences, non-Muslims attend. We should not forget that, brothers and sisters, that non-Muslims attend these conferences sometimes. They're sitting here listening sometimes. You should know that we do not worship Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do not replace him or Jesus with him, as some Christians probably think. In addition to this, Prophet Muhammad's name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are some inauthentic or unauthentic narrations that we can find in the books of Sirah that says that his father, Abdullah, named him Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's true. The narration is not true, but the meaning or the reason that they say that his father named him this is true. It is true. But the narration itself, the narrative is not true. I hope we have that. The meaning of what they say, of what I'm about to say, that Abdullah, his father, named him, is true. But the narration is not true. It is said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father named him Muhammad because he wanted him to be praised in both the heavens and on earth. Subhanallah, and that's exactly what happened. That's the second thing we wanted to mention. He was named Muhammad, and the reason is true, even though the narration is not, so that he could be praised in the heavens and on earth. And he is definitely praised on earth as well as in the heavens, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. Out of all the creatures that walk the face of the planet earth, he is the most beloved. And when Allah loves a creature, he tells Jibreel to love that creature. And Jibreel loves that creature. And then Jibreel tells the rest of the people, the denizens, the citizens, the dwellers in the heavens, to love that person. And then the bushra comes to the earth, then the people on earth love that person. And there's no one that is more beloved in the heavens than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the second thing. The third thing we wanted to say, which is a minor note, but it's a major note. It's a minor note, but it's a major note, meaning in its weight. We have to remember not to mispronounce the Prophet Muhammad's name, especially you brothers who love to, may Allah bless you, barakallahu fikum, You brothers who like to be the muezzin in your masajid and your marakiz, your masjids and your centers, you have to remember to pronounce his name properly. It's not with a kasra, it's with a fatha on the middle letter. Not Muhammad. Not Muhammad, but Muhammad. Muhammad, not Muhammad. You say, oh, brother Muhammad. Or, Ashadu anna Muhammadar. Muhammad, no. Ashadu anna Muhammad. Not Muhammad. So be careful. Don't change his name. His name is a name that is honorific, given to him by his fathers, his clansmen, his father, but the name is befitting and suitable from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of revelation. We also want to mention is the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to be made dua for. When we mean needs to be, we mean by that is that we have been instructed in the Quran, if not commanded, and a commandment in the form of instruction, to make the salah and the salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we hear his name, or hear his title, or any of his titles, and this is one of the reasons why yesterday I chose the names of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that when we hear these titles, we just don't become accustomed to hearing Muhammad, or the Prophet, or the Messenger. When we hear the other names, or his kunan, or his kunya, Abu Qasim will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or al-Amin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or al-Muqaffi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or al-Hami, or al-Mahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to say the salat wa salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that 10 will be said on us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be raised 10 degrees by saying it. And lastly, before we begin, we want to say, don't be fooled or duped by yourself or anyone from among the jinn, from among the shayateen, or the ins, the human beings, to believe that just because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name is only mentioned a few times in the Quran, that and added to that, that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's name is mentioned more than the Prophet Muhammad's name by name. Isa is mentioned more times than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Don't be fooled into thinking that he is of lesser importance. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah, Nabiullah wa Rasulullah wa Abduhu, was mentioned exactly how many times in the Quran by name? We mentioned this before, I think last year. How many times? You said that last year too, didn't you say that? Twice. You got it wrong again. Four times. Exactly four times in the Quran. Exactly four times. Tomorrow we'll give you the references, inshallah, part two. Four times exactly. One of them, is your hint, is in the name of the surah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a hadith that of course is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jubair ibn Mut'im radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Jubair ibn Mut'im radiyallahu ta'ala anhu ardahu, he was one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, of course, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that companion, Jubair, for those who know a little bit about his background, or those who do not know, he was a companion who heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the Quran when he was a mushrik, that is Jubair. He was reciting the Quran in the Salatul Maghrib. He was reciting Surah At-Tur, Wat-Tur. And in that surah, when he came to a certain ayah that struck his mind and his heart, he said, that was the first time that Iman entered in my heart, and it felt like my heart was about to fly away when he heard these ayat. And he accepted Islam shortly after that. This companion, I've only said this so that you can remember who he is, Jubair ibn Mut'im, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna li asma'an. Surely I have names. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, surely I have names. Now you brothers, you're pretty familiar with how I am. You know how I am. You know my MO. We're going to have some reciprocity here. We're going to have some, back and forthness here. We're going to give you the names that he mentioned in the hadith, and you brothers are going to be responsible to give them back to me, inshallah. He said, Inna li asma'an. I have some names. Before we tell you some of the names that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we want to tell you that there are some other names that he doesn't have that people like to give to him. And the reason why we don't say that those names are his, that we negate those names from him, is because the narrations are not authentic. They're not authentic. One of those names is Taha, the surah in the Quran. This is a name that they give to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is not one of his names. Taha. Also, a surah in the Quran that they say that really it means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Yasin. This is not one of his names. Yasin. And there are others. Going back to the hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, surely I have some names. Ana Muhammadun. I am Muhammad. Wa ana Ahmadu. And I am Ahmed. Those are the first two names that he mentioned. What is the meaning of Muhammad? And for those brothers who are studying Arabic and those sisters who are studying Arabic, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you assistance and let you become well acquainted and well grounded in the Arabic language. That name Muhammad is what they call an ismul maf'ul, a passive participle. The word in English probably doesn't help too much, but ismul maf'ul, a passive participle. You have ismul fa'il and ismul maf'ul. This is ismul maf'ul. And there's a sheikh here right now, Ali Sulaiman, from Africa. He lives here in Detroit. You should talk to him. If you're interested in studying Arabic or getting some brushing up on your Arabic while you're here, he has a master's in Arabic. It's Ali Sauber's relative here. He just left here from listening to our brother Abu Osama. He was sitting here. Alhamdulillah. You should get with him. Muhammad is ismul maf'ul. It's a passive participle. It means that he is the one who is praised and deserves that praise from among the creatures more than anyone. He's the one who is praised the most from among the creatures of Allah, the ibad of Allah. Ahmed, and some of the scholars of Islam, they say that the meaning is very similar. The meaning is very similar to Muhammad, is the one who praises more than anyone. Meaning praises Allah with the best type of praise. The best type of laudation. The most exclusive. The most superior type of extolation. That's Ahmed. Ahmadul Hamidin, the one who praises the most, praises Allah the most. Muhammad is the one who is receiving the praise. He's the one who is the most praised. And Ahmed is the one who praises Allah the most with the best types of praise. And we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exemplifying this all through his life. Even in his khutbatul haja, innal hamdalillah. Right in the beginning, praising Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Wa ana al-mahi, ana al-mahi, alladhi yamhu Allah bi al-kufr, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to erase kufr, and he is the one that no one before him, during him, and after him remove kufr like him." He removed kufr and shirk better than anyone and all the anbiya and the rusul. All the prophets and the messengers. Al-Mahi. The one who erases, the one who effaces completely the kufr. and the shirk. This is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you look at his history, most definitely, there's no doubt that he is the one who did that. There's no doubt. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that I am al-hashir. Wa ana al-hashir. Yahshuru an-nas ala qadami. In another narration, ala qadamiyya. That I am al-hashir. I'm the one who's going to gather the people. He's going to gather the people, and the people are going to be gathered at my feet. This is a praiseworthy title for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, wa ana al-aqib. Wa ana al-aqib. I am the one who comes after all the prophets, and there's no prophet after me. This is my statement now. I'm not saying he said this. He only said, wa ana al-aqib. That I am al-aqib. I'm saying now, not the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The meaning of it is, he's the one who, there's no prophet coming after him. لا نبي بعده. No one comes after him. And this is one of the titles that we should remember, one of the asma that we should really remember. We should remember all of them if we can. But this one is one that I really push that you should remember. Why? Because we have all these Qadianis, all these Ahmadians, all of these people who claim that they have a prophet or a prophetess, male or female prophets. And we mentioned some of those groups last year. Remember the Melanic Islamic Temple of the Rising Sun? Remember them? That person who started that group in the prison system, and they have him here in Michigan? The one who says that Nat Turner is the prophet of Allah? After the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the ignoble Jurali, the one who people call noble Jurali, you should stop calling him that. Don't think that that was part of his name. No, that's a title they've given him. The noble Jurali. Noble Jurali. He's a false prophet, claiming prophethood after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, what is it? Rashad Khalifa or Khalifa Rashad? I always get it mixed up. When he got killed, you know, kind of, you know, I forgot. Rashad Khalifa. Another false prophet. And of course, the one after him or before him is the big one. Emo. Elijah Muhammad. May Allah give all those jokers what they deserve. SubhanAllah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-aqib. He is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made no prophet come after him. If we go to the surah in the Quran that I'm sure that everybody sitting here has memorized, this surah, which is a Meccan surah, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, it's part of Juz Amma. And I think maybe most of the American Muslims, we know Juz Amma. Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, Wa Wada'ana Anka Wizrak, Alladhi Anqadha Zahrak, Wa Rafa'ana Laka Dhikrak. Have we not expanded your chest? Have we? And of course the we is not talking about more than one. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Haven't we expanded your chest? And some of the ulama, they say that the expansion of the chest here means that he was given nubuwa. That he was given nubuwa. But the meaning of this, and Allah knows best the strongest meaning, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was opened up. And this happened how many times, brothers? Twice. The first time when what? He was a little boy. يَلْعَبُ مَعَ الْغِلْمَانِ. He was playing with the boys in the street. Right? And then Jibril came. فَصَرَعَهُ. Started wrestling with him. Fell to the ground. Opened up his chest. Took out a alaqa. Took a piece of flesh out of his chest. And said, هَذَا حَظُ الشَّيْطَانِ مِنْكَ. This is a piece of the shaitan from you. Took it out. Came with a tusf, a basin, a little bowl made of gold with zamzam in it. and washed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart and placed it back in his chest. And Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the narrator of this hadith that you find in Sahih Muslim, he said, I myself saw the traces of the stitches in his chest. The first time. The second time was when? Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had his chest opened up again. And this time, with the Zamzam again, washing his heart, Jibreel, he placed in his heart hikmah and iman. And we can ask the mashayikh here for more details about that. Two times that he had the sharh of his heart, of his chest. His chest was opened up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had his heart twice cleaned and polished. Everything that would have, that we have removed that piece of shaitan inside of his heart. And just to check, because, you know, we don't know everything, and I'm just a half of a cent student, right before I came here, I called up Sheikh Osama Al-Khusi from the room, and I asked him, how do we understand this? Is this, how do we understand this piece of shaitan? He said, we understand it exactly the way it's mentioned. Nothing figurative, exactly the way we understand it is what you read. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in this particular surah. Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na 'anka wizrak. And we removed from you the wizr. We lifted the wizr from you. And some of the ulama, they say that the wizr is that he was forgiven for his sins. He was forgiven for his sins, because some of the people of knowledge, they say that some of the prophets committed sin before they became prophets. Alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And we can ask this question also of the mashayikh, one of the benefits of being here. And then, in this particular surah, skipping the next ayah, going to the next ayah, وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raises the mention of you. Raises the mention of you. And this is the point where we want to begin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the mention of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there, as we mentioned in the beginning, is no worship of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached to the raising of his name and the raising of the mentioning of him. And the meaning of raising the mentioning of him, elevating the mentioning, the zikr of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many meanings to this. Many. One of them is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the position of Imam al-Mursaleen. That he's been given the position of the Imams of all the messengers. This is part of raising the mentioning of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have to re-emphasize, we do not worship, I'm saying it for the benefit of the non-Muslims, we do not worship Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because I've been informed that there's some men here and also some women. Maybe they're still sitting here, I don't know. We do not worship the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is also a caution to our brothers who have gone all the way to the end, the ghulat, the people who have gone to excesses with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some even have gone to excesses with people who are beneath Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like some of the ahnaf, the mutashaddidun, the extremists, mutaassibun of the Hanafi madhab. They've gone to the point where they call them al-imamul a'azam. And we all know who the Imam Al-A'zam is. He's Rasulullah. We can't give Abu Hanifa the title of Al-Imam Al-A'zam. Some even go farther than that. Some even go farther than that with Imam Abu Hanifa in praising him. There's some poetry that they've made of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullahu ta'ala. فَلَعْنَةُ رَبِّنَا عِدَادَ رَمْلٍ عَلَى مَنْ رَدَّ قَوْلَ أَبِي حَنِيفَ. This is a statement of some of the Hanafis. The curse of our Lord, the number of sands in the desert, be on the person who rejects the opinions or the statements of Abu Hanifa. That's how far they've gone. We don't do that with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much more Abu Hanifa, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Raising the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a lot of meanings. One of them, he's the Imam al-Mursaleen. He is the Imam of the Messengers. He is the one who has the Shafa'atul Uzma, the one who has that major, super major intercession. We're going to go to the first prophet. He's going to say what he has to say. He's going to be afraid for himself. Go to the next prophet. He's going to say what he has to say. Go to the next prophet. Then the next prophet. Then the next prophet. This is part of the rafa'u dhikr of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the raising of the mentioning of him, because at the end is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The raising of the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every single Muslim, from the first Muslim up until our time to after we're dead and gone, in their salah, they're going to say his name. Every single Muslim, billions, trillions, quadrillions, Muslims going to say his name. Every single adhan and iqama. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everywhere. Turkey, Algeria, Arabia. Muhammad's name is mentioned. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Raising the mentioning of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the raising of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mentioning is the many followers that he has in obedience to him. The many followers that he has, and following his footsteps from the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the way down to now, and all the way until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The mentioning of his titles in the Quran, the mentioning of his names in the authentic hadith, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the Quran was sent down on him. All of this is part of the raising of the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes even a description of him, even in the Torah, and the description that he gives to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Torah, along with the Sahaba are mentioned, their description is mentioned in the Torah, to the point where Musa, wallahu a'lam, said that he wished he could be among them, that he was of them. Meaning of that ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how described and mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the Torah. In the Torah. Revealed books. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wa ala nabiyyina kadhalik. The name Ahmed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one place in the Quran in Surah Saff. And you can go back and you can check in the tafsir of Surah Saf of Isa, Allah mentioning on the tongue of Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there would be a prophet after him called Ahmed. The one who's a mubashir, the one who's a nazir, the one who's a bringer of glad tidings, the one who is a warner. This prophet of whom one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Amr, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, I read the Torah. قَدْ رَأَيْتُ فِي التَّورَاتِ. I saw in the Torah the mentioning of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad Rasulullah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned him. Muhammadun Rasul, Muhammadun Rasulullah. One of the companions said, I saw this in the Torah. عَبْدِي وَرَسُولِي. That he is my slave and he is my messenger. سَمَّيْتُهُ الْمُتَوَكِّلِ. I named him Al-Mutawakkil. This is in the Torah. This hadith is authentic, authenticated by our Shaykh Nasir, rahimahullah. You can find it in the book, inshallah, the book of Sirah, but it's authenticated by our Shaykh, alhamdulillah, rahmatullahi, rahmatan wasiatan alayhi. I named him Al-Mutawakkil. Laysa bifadlin wala ghalidhin. Laysa bifadlin wala ghalidhin. وَلَا سَخَابٍ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. He's not rude, he's not harsh, and he's not سَخَاب. He's not the one in the aswaq, in the marketplaces, that talks loud, and he's boisterous. Hey, yeah, you, hey! Oh, God! He's not like that. The way, unfortunately, I was doing just yesterday in the souk. Hey, Muhammad! Hey, Sheikh Ali Sulaiman! And when I thought about the hadith, I said, Subhanallah. See? That's the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sammaytuhu al-Mutawakkil. I named him, Allah said. I named him al-Mutawakkil. One of the names. Why is he Mutawakkil? The one who puts his ultimate dependence and trust on Allah. He's not rude. He's not harsh. He's the one who, when the man, the Bedouin Arab, asked him to give up some of the booty, give up some of the spoils, give up some of the goods that they have. Doesn't belong to you, give it to me. And calls him Muhammad, not Rasulullah. And not only did he do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only did he do that to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet had a coarse cloak on. He yanked the Prophet's cloak and made a mark on the Prophet's neck. Made a mark on Rasulullah's neck, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe, even though I don't know, I believe Omar wasn't there that day. I don't know. To me, it's kind of clear that he wasn't there that day. He yanked it and made a mark on the Prophet's neck. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what do you think I should do with you? Should I make you pay for that? What you just did to me? What do you think I should do with you? He said, nothing. He said, why? He said, because you don't follow up an evil deed with an evil deed. That's the message of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's one of the things that's mentioned in the Torah. That he was not only one, he was not one of the sakhab til aswat, one of the boisterous people, rude, hard of heart, boisterous in the marketplaces. He was also the one, لا يجزي بالسيئة. لا يجزي بالسيئة السيئة. He doesn't follow up like we do sometimes. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. He doesn't follow up a bad deed with a bad deed. That's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are other descriptions given of him in the Torah and in the Injil, along with his companions, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In addition to this, brothers and the sisters listening, inshallah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mention, the raising of the mentioning of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is by virtue of the fact that on that day he's going to have the most followers. No one's going to have more followers than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No one. And you brothers who have the children, the many children, you brothers who have the wives, you keep making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proud. Keep making him proud by producing those children, inshallah. Don't let people run you away, and you women also who have those children, don't let the people run you away, making you think that you're doing something wrong. Child, did you have another baby? Yeah, how you got all those babies for him? Keep making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proud, and keep raising the mention of him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, we will not be able to conclude and confirm our shahada without mentioning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name and believing in him and following him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of this is a part of the raising of the mentioning of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mentioning of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who ridicule the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, explicitly or implicitly, they are also in a strange way helping to raise the mention of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Orientalists, the Mushrikun, the Kafirun, the Munharifun, the Mubtadi'un, those deviants from among the Muslims, those innovators, the Orientalists, the disbelievers, the Mushrikun, in a strange way, they're also assisting as Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he said in the hadith in al-Bukhari, "Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha ad-din bir-rajul al-fajir." Allah will use a criminal individual to help support this being. So even the disbelievers, in a very slanted, strange way, by their talking against and their repudiation of the Messenger of Allah and their rejection of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a strange, slanted way, they're helping to make the mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if not just literally, by mentioning his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What time is it? 4:05. One of the names of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is given to us by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is a name that we should try to practice, or I should say, we should be mindful of its meaning. And I'm going to sit here in front of you and say that I, from this day, inshallah, I'm going to try my best to remember this name and try to implement it in my life. And that name is Al-Amin. Al-Amin. The one, and this is exclusive for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not meaning that it's exclusive, that no one can take it. I mean the meaning that he is the one who is trustworthy. That he is the one that was trustworthy to what? Trustworthy, firstly, to that amana, that trust that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the one that fulfilled exactly and in detail, comprehensively and in detail, every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. He conveyed the message and he didn't leave anything out. He didn't hide anything. He was true to his covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gave that amana all its rights. He also was the one who kept his trust with the people. And this is the point that I want to make for myself and then for you as a reminder. The secrets, they are amanat. The personal issues of your brother and your sister in Islam, they are amanat. Those issues, when someone does something wrong, not being quick to spread it, is an amana. Especially when it's not making any harm to the community at large. We need to remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Al-Amin. And we need to try to be like Al-Amin. And this is one of the qualities attached to that title that is lost. It's lost. Having the sense of security and safety from your brother and sister, from their tongues and their hands, from our tongue and our hands. This is part of the implicit meaning of Al-Amin. Firstly, keeping his trust with Allah. But also even keeping the trust with the disbelievers. Returning their properties to them. Them being safe except for when it was something from the hurma of Allah, not speaking about people behind their backs. Not backbiting and slandering people. Not gossiping about people. All this is inclusive of Al-Amin. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us like Al-Amin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will never be able to reach the status of Al-Amin, but to remember that he was Al-Amin before the revelation even came down. He was being called Al-Amin. He was the one who was the Amin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In keeping his amanat, in keeping his uhud, his trust, his covenants, his contracts, keeping the secrets of the people, keeping the promises of those who believe in Allah in the last day. This name, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned something about it, and I spoke to Sheikh Ali, and they're going to mention some of these things in detail, inshallah, so I won't mention what he told me he was going to mention. We're going to leave them, and he also, just so that you don't miss this talk by Sheikh Ali, so that you don't miss it, he's going to talk about it, because I went to him and asked him today in his room, about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam contemplating committing suicide. I'm going a little off on the side now, but I just want to mention this. Because came down,
See how Shaitan is trying to get me to say something that I shouldn't say about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was al-Amin before the revelation even came down. Can you imagine him having the thought about committing suicide? No. But you find the books of history in English and in Arabic replete with this narration, that you find Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani bringing in the first section of al-Bukhari, Badu al-Wahi, the beginning of revelation, how revelation started coming down. We find the statement attached to the hadith, and Sheikh Ali is going to bring it. He told me it's going to be about 10. When I came to him, he said, MashaAllah, Dawood, I have right here, he pulled a piece of paper out, he had 10 things of narrations that are inauthentic or unauthentic attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was one of them, that he contemplated committing suicide. And you can go to any one of these universities in the United States or Canada or England or Australia where they have Oriental studies or Near Eastern studies, and they switch up sometimes and call it Far Eastern studies or Middle Eastern studies, and you'll find them linking that statement about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam using those tafsirs, those tafasirs that really don't have a lot of weight to them, like Baydawi, like Al-Baydawi and Al-Fakhruddin al-Razi, where those narrations are bogus, many of them, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had contemplated taking himself to a high mountain and throwing himself off. It's not true. This is one of the increases from Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Anyway, he was al-Amin. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he brings a detailed, and we're going to leave it, inshallah, for Sheikh Ali and the Mashaykh, a detailed explanation of what al-Amin means. And wallahi, brothers and sisters, I cannot overemphasize the fact that we should try to be like this. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you attend that particular talk, and I think it's going to be today, insha'Allah ta'ala. Also, from among those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to raise the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is when we say as-salatu wassalam on the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day, we're raising the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by making the salams and the salah on him. And the salah is being done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's being done by the angels, and it's being done by all those who believe. When you make that salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's returned to you. And when you're standing in front of the Prophet's grave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-Madinah al-Nabawiyyah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the hadith mentions in Abu Dawood, his sunan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns my soul to me so that I can return the salams to you. So when you say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns the salams to you. That's part of the raising of the mentioning of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Surely Allah and His angels, they make the salat on the Prophet. The salat from Allah is Allah's thana alayhi. It is Allah's thana alayhi. Allah's exaltation and praise and laudation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the high heavens. And the salat from the angels on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he's been forgiven for all of his sins, past and whatever, is the dua of al-istighfar, dua of seeking forgiveness for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is part of the rafu al-zikr of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In addition to this, all of the prophets of Allah have been told to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to assist Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's going to come after him. All of the prophets have been instructed and commanded لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلِتَنْصُرُنَّهِ That you believe in him, the prophets are being told this. The messengers are being told this. And that you give him victory. That you give him assistance to make him victorious. All this is part of the رفع الذكر of النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليم المزيدة. Going back to the surah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ We skipped over this ayah, purposely. And that the weight and the burden is removed from your back. SubhanAllah. Brothers, I'm going to, as a traveler, I'm going to ask Allah, O Allah, please help the American Muslims or any of the Muslims whose language is not Arabic. Oh Allah, please let us get a strong grip and a foothold on this language. Oh Allah, I call on you by your greatest name. Please allow the non-Arabic speaking Muslims to get a strong grip and a strong foothold on this language of Arabic. And, oh Allah, I ask you, Lord of the Kaaba, the one who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiullah, Rasulak, Rasuluka, Oh Allah, please allow the Muslims who are non-Arabic speaking to learn this language well, become masters at most, or at least a firm foothold and a firm footing and a perfect grasp on this language so that we may understand, inshallah, exactly what you're saying in your book. Ameen. Brothers, when you read this Quran in the language that it was revealed in, and you go back to the ulama who explained the books of tafsir, those ayat and those surah, or those suwar, plural for surah, you're missing so much. No, we are missing so much. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. عَبَثَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is admonishing Rasulullah. He's admonishing him, and he has the right to do it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is makhluq. He's created. Wallahu khaliquhu. Allah is his creator, and he's all of our creator. Allah is the Rabb, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of the marboob. He is part of those whom Allah has created, part of those who Allah has sustained, who owns, and is the administrator of Prophet Muhammad's affairs, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of us. He's admonishing the one whom he loves. Out of all the creatures, there's no one that is more beloved to Allah than the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he had to admonish him, because when Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum came, seeking some type of admonition, seeking some guidance, he came Rashid, looking for direction. Allah, look how Allah did it, brothers. As Ibn Kathir al-Damashqi mentions in his tafsir, Al-Quran al-Azim, he said that Allah, even though he was admonishing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he still showed respect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by not addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the second person. He addressed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the third person. عَبَثَ وَتَوَلَّى He didn't say, عَبَثْتَ وَتَوَلَّيْتَ He didn't say, you frowned and turned away. He said, he frowned and turned away. You don't get that in the English. He placed the Prophet in an admonition, in a repudiation, in correcting him. He didn't say it to him directly, even though he was saying it to him directly. He put him in the third person. He frowned and turned away. So that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he started reciting the Quran and he came to that surah, he wouldn't have a disturbed heart. Abasa wa tawalla. Can you imagine what would have happened to the heart of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he would have said, Abasa wa tawallaita. You frowned and you turned away. Can you imagine that, brothers? Allah still was gentle with him. In that surah, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ Haven't we? Now here, see, this is ni'mah. See, he's not refuting him now. He's showing the ni'mah that he's given him. Now he talks to him directly. Have you not seen, don't you know, that we expanded your chest? أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ وَوَضَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِذْرَكَ وِذْرَكَ. Talking to him directly, because these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of his ni'mah, out of his bounty, out of his grace. This is part of the usloob, the style of the Quran. And you see this all through the Quran. All through the Quran. O Prophet, when you divorce the women, he's addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya ayyuhan nabi. He's addressing him directly. But when he gets right after that in the same ayah, he puts it talking to the believers, not to the Prophet. When you divorce the women, count their iddah. But it's talking to the believers. It's not talking to the Prophet, even though he addressed the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly. Right after that, connected to it in the same ayah, it's as though he's talking to the Muslims, not Prophet Muhammad anymore, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taking the attention away from Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his great love and respect for the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All this and more, brothers, sisters, is a part of the mentioning, the raising the mention of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. We removed the burden from your back. We didn't leave you, as he said in the surah before. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَالَ. All the way to the end of the surah. All of this is part of the raising of the mentioning of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we go back to those names, inshallah, tomorrow in more detail, inshallah, that he was Nabiyul Rahma, one of the names that you get tomorrow, bimashiyatillah. He was Nabiyul Rahma. He was the Nabi of Rahma. He was Nabiyul Tawbah. He was the Prophet of Tawbah. These are names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiyul Malhama. He was the Nabi of Hurub, meaning Hurub, of wars. Some people may say, ah, see there, I knew it. See there? One of his titles is the Prophet of Wars. The one who starts wars. No. All of these names, brothers and sisters, are part of the zikr of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not Yasin, not Taha. Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah. The son of Abdul Muttalib, the one who was Hashimi, the one who was Qurashi, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So with that, inshallah, I believe it is now almost 5:05. With that, inshallah, I think the time was supposed to be till 5:15. We want to mention one more thing, inshallah. And this is just an added part that we didn't intend to present. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some people around him. He had some servants. He had some right-hand possessors. He had some children. We want also to mention some of them tomorrow, and we want to mention some of the things they used to do, so that the picture of whom we are talking about comes a little clearer. Just to give you an example, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he was one of the khuddam, he was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Does anybody here know one of the things that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was responsible for? That was his job. Anybody know? That was one. The wudu. That was one of his jobs. Can you imagine having that job? Taking the water to the Messenger of Allah, taking the wadu for the wudu. The wadu is the water used for wudu. Wadu, wudu. The wadu is the water used for wudu. Can you imagine having that job of helping the Messenger of Allah prepare for Salah. He was also, Abdul ibn Mas'ud, in charge of the siwak of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what he used to do? He used to get it ready for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa. He was a good khadim. He would just say, hey, okay, here, Prophet Muhammad, here, just take it. He would make sure that it was nice and clean, keep it clean for him, and he would bite off the ends with his own teeth. Bite off the ends with his own teeth and hand it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get it ready for him so he can prepare himself, which is a part of khushur. Using the siwak is a part of khushur. When you use that miswak, it helps you with your khushur, standing in front of Allah. So that means Abdul ibn Mas'ud had a job that was helping the Messenger of Allah, who was akhshar nas, akhshar. He was the one who had the most khushur, helping him get prepared to stand in front of his Lord for salah. And there are other things, inshallah, and other people. So we want to mention them also tomorrow. And I'm saying this because I forget sometimes. I want the brothers to remind me, Brother Dawood, you said you were going to talk about some of those servants, some of the right hands possessed, and some of his children, or all the names of his children. Because there's some confusion also about that. And lastly, I'd like to mention one of those things of confusion. Some of the people call the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son, Ibrahim, Maryam. Her name wasn't Maryam. It was Maria. Maria. Mim, Aleph, Ra, Ya, Ta'u Marbuta. Not Maryam. Maria. Alright? So these are some of the things we want to mention tomorrow, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us responsible in our lives for raising the mentioning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and knowing the meanings of his names and remembering those names and those titles, and knowing how to implement them in our lives, and knowing how to implement them in our lives. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina wa habibina wa sayyidina wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك إن شاء الله. إن شاء الله.
طيب إن شاء الله. We have at least 10 minutes for questions and answers. So if the brothers and sisters have any, please send them up إن شاء الله in written form. We have until 5:15, and then after that we have to prepare for Salatul Asr. And please know after the questions and answers session, I have a program note, so stick around for that, inshallah.
Ready now? Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi, wa ashabihi, wa man astanna bi sunnatihi, wa man tamassaka bi dinih, وَمَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ يَحْسَانِ لِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ وَبَعْدِ. The first question, inshallah, and please, brothers and sisters, don't fault me if I say I don't know, and don't fault me if I say we're going to ask the mashayikh. You know I do that every year, so don't fault me. Please explain the situation when the ayah had, have they concerned Allah or an Al-Uzza, etc., was revealed that shaitan injected, and I'd like to maybe change that to interpolated or interjected or included, that they were intercessors. This story that the person is asking about, to the best of my memory, is called Gharaniq. Gharaniq. And our Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, he's written a risala, a booklet on this, a treatise on this. And I think that this is one of the things that Shaykh Ali and Shaykh Salim and Shaykh Osama are going to talk about. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they're going to talk about it, inshallah. For those who don't know, the story is that shaitan came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had him say something, making his tongue twist, and say something else. They're going to talk about this, inshallah. And if they don't, we're going to send the note up to them so they can deal with it, inshallah, and answer the question. If this actually is true or not. Brother Dawood Adib, may Allah be pleased with your lecture. Ameen. I am a new Muslim and I am always giving dawah to my Christian mother. Allah yahdiha, may Allah make her a Muslim. May Allah guide her. Ameen. Considering your extensive Christian background, it's not really that expensive, but that's what people think. Considering your extensive Christian background, would you that the comforter that Isa speaks about in the Bible is another name for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if that really is the comforter, that it means Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're not going to confirm and we're not going to deny. We're going to say, "Qulu," as Allah says, "Amanna billahi wa ma unzila ilayna wa ma unzila ila Ibrahima wa Ismaila wa Ishaqa wa Ya'quba wal Asbat wa ma utiya Musa wa Isa wa ma utiya an-nabiyuna bi rabbihim la nufarriqu bayna ahadin minhum wa nahnu lahu muslimun." We're not going to confirm or deny. It could be that this title, the Comforter, translated back into the language that it was revealed in, retranslated into Arabic, could mean Ahmed or Muhammad. It could be. And it might not be. I don't know. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, neither confirm nor deny those statements of those people in their books or attributed to their books, but rather you should say, we believe in that which Allah has revealed. And that which was revealed to Ibrahim, to us and to Ibrahim, and to Ismail, and to Ishaq, and Ya'qub, and the Asbat, which are the tribes, and that which was given to Musa and Isa, and that which was given to the prophets before them, we make no distinction between any of them, and to Allah, we're Muslims, in submission, we submit. So, inshallah, I'd like to leave that one, Allah knows best, if that is talking about Prophet Muhammad or not, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we do know that he was mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil, and the Sahaba were also mentioned. Was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his grandfather, as his father died before his birth, was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named by his grandfather as his father died before his birth? Allahu A'lam. I don't know. We can ask the Mashaykh. Also, wasn't our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam known as El Amin before the revelation came to him? Yes. We mentioned that. There's a list of things, tattoos, etc., that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not intercede on the Muslim's behalf. Is this if you die doing these things, or if you did them and stopped long before, or before death, with having repented? Of course, I don't know of any narration that says if you get tattoos, the Prophet won't intercede for you. I don't know of any like that. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've never heard it before. But Islam does away with everything that went before it. Even though I don't know of any authentic hadith that says that, we understand that from the ulama of Islam, from the general meanings of the narrations, even though I don't know of any authentic hadith that says Islam does away with that which went before it, Islam did away with everything that went before it. Are we not supposed to keep what we are trusted upon, whether it's by a Muslim or a kafir? Yes, but that is in general. Absolutely, you're correct. In general, we are supposed to keep the trust of Muslim and non-Muslim. How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam romance his wives? Alhamdulillah. No. This is a legitimate question. This is a legitimate question. And there's a book by Abu Abdullah Muhammad al-Jibali that he just put together that deals with the whole subject, over 100 some odd pages, on how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam romanced his wives to teach the brothers how to romance their wives. All right? I'm not going to say the Prophet macked his wives. I'm not going to use that expression for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I don't think that's appropriate. Romancing his wives is a nice way to say it. There's no problem in saying that. And this is something that the brothers need to learn how to do. We all need to learn how to romance our wives. Because once you romance your wife, brothers, You put more honey on the moon. Right? To raise the awareness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is permissible for the Muslims to create and vote in a poll to declare the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the man who has the most influence on mankind. Yeah, actually, when I first saw this email, I didn't agree with it. I still don't agree with it. It's not necessary for the Muslims to participate with the disbelievers in that Time magazine or whatever that thing is. I don't know who's doing it. As a poll on who is the best man, the most influential man, because we already know. And believe me, brothers, the kuffar know too. الَّذِينَ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him like they know their own children. They don't need a poll. They don't need a poll. They just want you to become preoccupied with that stuff so you can't do other work that's more important. That's all it is. Why are you going to get in a poll with the kuffar? You already know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most influential man in the most positive way that anybody can influence mankind in the universe. Why do we have to join with the kuffar in doing that when he already has been raised in his mention? وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَ. It's already been done. We don't need to participate with them with that. Was Maria his wife or slave girl? She was a right-hand possessed. She was a gift. She was a gift. And there was also another one that his wife, and since we're mentioning, I'm going to mention now instead of tomorrow, that Zainab bint Jahsh, radiallahu ta'ala anha, our mother, his wife, gave him as a gift, habahat ha-lahu. Her name was Rayhana. That was another one, Rayhana, that she gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine your wife giving you a right hand possess? Not today. Not today, brothers. In fact, my wife and I, we were talking the other day, right? She said she wanted a male servant, right? No, seriously. My wife, I know she's over there listening. She said she wanted a male servant, right? But alhamdulillah, you know, because I got kind of a little, you know, I got a little set, you know. She said, okay, I want one that lacks vigor, right? I said, he better be 190 years old, with two wooden legs, blind, no teeth. Is she and the other slaves and former slaves considered of his family? And will they be joined with him in the Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'lam wa a'la. I don't know. What is the meaning of hamd and praise? And please differentiate between the hamd for alhamdulillah and the hamd for Muhammad. Of course, the hamd in the alhamdulillah is for Allah. And the hamd in the Quran and Surah Al-Fatiha is both alhamd and ashukr. Alhamd and shukr. It's praise and thanks. The shukr is more general and the hamd is more specific. Alhamd is akhassu min ashukr. It's more specific than shukr. Shukr is usually and almost exclusively done by the tongue. But hamd is done with the tongue, the heart, and the bodily limbs. So when we say alhamdu, in fact, once again going back to the Arabic, that al in alhamdu, that alif lam in that surah, al-fatiha, alhamd, because in Arabic you have different types of lam. Al, you have lam al-ahad, lam al-istighraq, lam this, lam that. This one is al-istighraq, which means every single type, fate, shape, form, fashion, size, dimension of praise is due to Allah. Any and every type of praise, no matter what type it is due to Allah. That al means that. Alhamdulillah. As for the hamdan Prophet Muhammad's name, that's part of the root, Muhammad is back to what we said earlier, that he is the one who is praised the most. The praise of him is more than any other of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the root word is all, they're still the same. Can you recommend any authentic books on the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in English? Actually, the way that I see it is that you have to take some books and put them together. You have to take a few books of English and seerah, about seerah, and place them together, because every single one of them in English so far has some problems. Rahiq Makhtoum, mashallah, is fair. And I don't want to, because I know the brother, I don't want to, I'll just say that the translation is not as good as people think. It's not as good as people think. And there are some stories in there that are not true. Now somebody might say, how did it get that prize then? Well, how did Martin Ling's book get that prize? There was a whole group of ulama in Pakistan and in South Africa that said that Martin Ling's book needs to be distributed for free. That is so good. And he has all kinds of shirk in there, all kinds of kufr. He has a story in there where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was struck by the beauty of Zainab and was overwhelmed. That's the way he talks about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that she saw him and he saw her while she was married to Zayd. A'udhu billah. That's mentioned in Martin Ling's book. And some of these people in South Africa and Pakistan said that book should be translated into Arabic so the whole Arab world can read it. And it should be distributed by the millions for free. And it won a prize. First place. So the books that you want to read in English, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have someone take some of those books, and those books that are authentic, and translate them, inshallah. And even more than that, these are the last two, even more than that, that we should learn the Arabic language so we can go to the books of seerah and read them for ourselves with those that have been checked by the scholars of hadith. What is the best way to perform zuhud? Oh, this is a totally different topic now. And we need to save this. But I would say, in short, the best way to perform zuhud, or I should say not the best way to perform zuhud, because some of the people of the past, like, I think his name was Yusuf ibn al-Husayn, rahimahullah. I think that was his name. I'm not sure. He said, "Fi dunya tughyanani." In the dunya, there are two types of oppression, two types of going over the limits in oppression. He said, "Tughyanul ilm wa tughyanul mal." The oppression, or the going over the overboard, going over the exceeding the limits in knowledge and exceeding the limits in with wealth. He said, "Alladhi yunjika min tughyanil ilm al-ibadatu fihi." He said, the thing that's going to save you from the tughyan, the oppression of the knowledge, is worship. Worship. That's part of the zuhud. And "Alladhi yunjika min tughyanil mal az-zuhdu fihi." The thing that's going to save you and give you salvation and protect you from being oppressed by your money is renouncing yourself from it and only getting enough to survive, to live. In other words, not getting 16 different types of cereal. Right? Get the cornflakes. Get the Wheaties. Get the Rice Krispies. One. But you go to the store and you just stretch out. SubhanAllah, I remember when we was in Medina, we used to go to the supermarket, you have one cereal. One cereal. It's not like that anymore though. And that's all you have to choose from. This is the way a Zahid wants to live his or her life. They want to get only those things that they need because they're trying to get to the other side. They're trying to get to the other side. And as Zuhud is a topic by itself, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those people who really want to practice it. And lastly, are the Ahlul Bid'ah and Kufr, such as the Ahmadiyyas, counted as those who are part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes, and so is Farrakhan's group. They are part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? Because the Prophet Muhammad, in conclusions, Ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is divided into two types. The people of da'wah and the people of response. The people of da'wah are the people who give the da'wah to those people, like us, we the Muslims. And the people of response are the people who haven't heard the message yet, and we hope that they respond. Those people are part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad also. Why? It's because since the Quran came down and now it's completed, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken, he was taken, and he is the one whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companion said that Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that I mentioned, that I didn't mention this part. I hope you're still with me. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَنْ أَقْبِدَهُ حَتَّى أُقِيمَ بِهِ الْمِلَّةِ الْعَوْجَاءِ. He said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Torah, Allah said about the Prophet in the Torah, I am not going to take his soul until all the nations have become firm on what I sent him with. I'm not going to take his soul. That means that his message is going to spread to everyone. Barakan, Barakan, Jarakan, Kharakan, whoever. So they're part of the Ummah in the sense that they are included between the time the Quran came down until Yawm al-Qiyamah. Since they're in our time, they're part of the Ummah in that sense, in a general sense. But the specific sense, only those who believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers in the last day and the divine decree, who make the salah, who pay the zakah, who fast on Ramadan, who make the hajj, who enjoin the good, forbidding the evil, and all those other nice things, they are part of the Ummah of Muhammad exclusively, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as for those other people, Ahmadiyyans, they are part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in general. In general. والله تعالى أعلم وأعلى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام ورحمة الله